Thank you, Jesus. What a great God. I want to start with Romans chapter 6. I quote these verses all the time. I want to read Romans 6:23 to start because that's what I want to talk about. I know you got it memorized, the Roman road. It's a precious thing. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Wages. So what he's telling us is that we work and do things and we don't get paid immediately, right? You get your wages laid up. Most places don't pay you by the hour. They don't pay you by the minute. If you earn $10 an hour, every tenth of an hour, somebody don't run out and give you a dollar. It's like, here's your wage. They save it up and pay you later. And now I want to go over to 3:23 or thereabouts, somewhere in there. The old Roman road. You guys got this memorized. Apostle Paul making declarations that are absolutely astounding in their structure. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So, here's the thing. We are His glory. On the earth, His children is His glory. That's what Jesus said. "Give me, return to me, restore to me the glory that I had with you. The glory that I had with you." So, that second Adam, that second man Adam, stood in a very powerful place, having redeemed us. But you guys, finally, the glory of God was about to come. The glory of God was going to come because He had promised that He was going to create an earth, and on that earth was going to be sons of God. Sons of God, plural. We were going to walk led by the Spirit. We were going to talk what the Word says. There weren't going to be dilemmas without answers. There were always answers. There's power in the answers of God. God's answering God. And He said, "All have sinned and come short of what God intended for our lives." And that's because the devil picks on God. The Bible said that the sons of God, there was a day that the sons of God were gathered before the Lord. And Satan was there. And God said, "Do you consider my servant Job my glory? My glory? He's my glory." You know why? Because he's my son. And he lives like a son. And I could brag about him. Because it brings me glory. How he lives brings me glory. And the devil said, "Of course he brings you glory. Look at his life. You got a hedge around him. I can't touch him. That's why he's your glory. Because you treat him like a petsy-wetsy. You take care of every little whimper, every little sneeze. You wipe his nose. You do all that stuff to him. You blessed him. He's the richest man in the world. Has beautiful daughters. Handsome sons. All of them are successful. Of course he praises you. Of course he serves you. Of course he loves you." God said, "Okay, take the hedge down. Because here's the deal. He's my glory." God took that hedge down and the devil did every wicked thing to him and it made it look like God. He made it look like God. Because when the fire came down to destroy his children, it didn't come up from hell. It didn't come out of a volcano. There wasn't a fissure open in the earth and black smoke and coals come up and consume his kids. It's fire that fell from heaven. Like God himself wanted to destroy his sons and his daughters in a single day. And everything he had was soon gone. God said, "So, about my glory, what do you think?" The devil said, "Well, of course, I took all his stuff, but he's still healthy. He's in no pain. He's in no pain." I was looking at a painting today of a man who was a Christian who was laid out on a rack about this high off of a fire of coals. And they were slowly roasting him because he's a Christian. Roasting him. And he wouldn't change his story. I'm a believer. It wasn't quick. He was up high enough that he could feel the burning heat and he wanted it off of his skin. He could roll a little to the right, he could roll a little to the left, but he could never get out of the burning of his skin. And of course, eventually he died for Christ, for his testimony. But he never said Jesus wasn't God. He never recanted what he believed about the glory of God, the transcendent glory of God. The devil said, all roasting, he'll quit. And on the fire, he just kept saying things about the goodness of God. They took a young woman and they dipped her in scalding water. And 3 days later, she still had not died. And so they sent in somebody to sever her head. And they cut it so bad that you would think she would have bled to death. And blood did run down her throat. And she did not die. So they did it again. But she never changed her story. You see, there's a glory. There's a glory that says, I love him more than I love me. I love him more than I love my flesh. I love him and he has filled me. He sealed my head. You'd have to have your head sealed. You'd have to be sealed in your forehead to go through that process. Because the devil knows slow is something men fear. Nelson Atkins Museum, plaza floor, up the stairs. I'll take you if you want. It's a free museum. See, men in those days painted pictures about people who were more than life. We've got heroes now because they can rap. And they can say vulgar words. And they impress people because they down everybody around them. And so it's like, I'm lifting me up by downing everything around me. That doesn't lift you up. That brings you lower and lower and lower. What God is saying is, here's my thing. I get my glory from a people who walk upright before me, because the devil wants to take my glory away and my sons. So they didn't just crucify Jesus. They beat him senselessly. They beat him beyond recognition. The Bible said they plucked his beard. The Bible said he was marred more than any man. They beat him with rods about the head. They beat him with fists around the head. They beat him with a cat of nine tails till his back was shredded. Lips inverted. You could see blood in his mouth. Blood around his swollen eyes. You'd never recognize him. You couldn't pick him out. This is Jesus. The man in the middle is Jesus. You couldn't do that. That's not what he looked like. And Job eventually became so sick that he had worms destroying his flesh. Like maggots. I think God sent maggots, because here's the deal. They clean out a wound. If you've got gangrene maggots, that's what they used in the Civil War to get in and clean a wound out. Job said, though after my flesh, worms destroy my body, yet in the flesh will I see God. I will behold him and not another. In other words, I will recognize him as God and nobody else. Not life. Not me. Not my wants. Not my wishes. Not my will. Him. And in heaven, that was recorded, because the book of Job came to us from God. Because no one else was there. And God said, record this. Record this. Record what he said. Because the devil can't get around that. That's glory. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And even Job could not arise to the glory of God. But Jesus did. And what he did is gave us this power of new life. And you guys, that's this thing about us. Is he's calling us. I want to read just a few things in these. So I want to go back to verse 23. Yeah. 20 said, therefore, by the deeds of the flesh, deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So we've been preaching on this, right? We got this memorized. Nobody's justified by what you did. But you guys, what he's talking about is the glory of God coming on his people, because we're not subject to this failure that the flesh wants to admit it's got. So he says this. Let's go over to 6. That's because I would like to stand there for a while. So, how many of us came short of the glory of God? All of us. Okay? So, we don't want to stay there though, no? No. Because we've been born again of the Spirit, right? So we have a new man inside of us. So the power of God dwells inside of us. The power for living a life that is pleasing to God and righteous. What God says is right. Making choices that God says, well, that's the right choice. How much during the day? All day. How many days? Every day. So our goal is what? Is to walk pleasing to Him. And you guys, as we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. And that's the exchange. We exchange our thinking from one realm to another. So we're moving into a spiritual realm because the Spirit of God is drawing us to it. So He's changing the way we think. And that's what you want. What God is doing to us is making us where we have this view that's spiritual. But you know what? As you start thinking spiritual things, you don't realize you're getting it. Because it's a normal thought process. It's like, wow, you mean I'm thinking like that? And what does it start like? It starts like the voice that condemns sin. Right? It's like, You start to do something and it just growls or it just clears its throat. And you know, well, I thought you were in bed. It's like he said, the Lord never slumbers or sleeps. I thought at 3 a.m, surely you would get sleep. I love a quiet church, but it's the truth. So the thing he's doing to us, you guys, is he's bringing us up to a place where we're thinking things different than we ever thought of before. But because it's a changing of our mind, we don't notice how much changed. Listen. So he said, let's look a little bit in 5, just because. Therefore, by the offense of one, because he's talking about Adam sinned, right? I'm in 5, and I'm in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, and actually it says one offense, but here's the deal. Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So, Adam could sin for all of us. Is that right? Adam could sin alone, and we would all get the condemnation of his sin on us. Okay? We talk about this all the time. But you know what? We don't get this very well, how it really works. But he sinned, and so that offense, and that condemnation came on all men. Okay? And that's because God began dealing with us in an individual way, but he gave us a conscience that responded to his Spirit. So every human being had a spirit, and our spirit was connected to his. So it's like a radio with one station. Right? Adam sins, and now there's two stations. We have the Spirit of God, and now we have the flesh, which has been elevated by Adam's sin up to a place that it now claims a place of superiority and authority. So now Adam is getting this second signal. It's like, okay, so, excuse me. Okay, I'm doing that. All right, I gotcha. Boom, off he does stuff. So all of us begin to feel condemnation because we were getting information from our flesh that told our soul, get me this stuff. Give me what my appetite's asking. Finish doing what I want you to do. So you guys, we got that, and with it came a condemnation, yeah? So we had peace with God up until we began to get this information that that things aren't going right. So when you were little, you had no condemnation. You had no condemnation. You didn't think anything about what you were doing or what was going on around you. It's just true. So the thing that God does is he puts inside of us this receiver that receives his information. The confusing thing is we get information from two different sources on that receiver. Then the enemy, Satan, came in and he came to give us information. So we went from one station. And how do you mess up if you only get one message? Now we get three messages, and I guarantee you the devil talks exactly like God does. And our spirit receives our own thinking the exact same way. Because when God talks to you, it comes through your thought process, right? So it sounds exactly like your thoughts. So what God said is, here's the deal. Because of that, condemnation came on all men. Because you guys, now you've got three stations. How would you stop people from doing the wrong thing all the time? Condemnation. So you get this message, do something, and when you start to do it, you get this feeling that what you're doing is not right. Condemnation. But nobody likes condemnation. It's like, wow, because condemnation don't just go away. You go ahead and do what you're doing. Condemnation doesn't just go away. And it can build on you. And then what happens is you want to run from God, and that's why the devil said you need the knowledge of good and evil, because you got to know that there's a good thing, and you got to know that what you're doing is evil, so that the condemnation from God to bring you back to the right way makes you run away. Right? So you want to run away from this God who talks to you. All right, so what happens is we get condemnation. Actually, you guys, it's a voice. It's a voice to tell you to walk in the right way. But the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of it, the fruit of that makes you feel like God is now going to bring destruction on you. You just feel right away like, wow, God's so unhappy with me. I can't get this thing straightened out. And then he tells you, well, because you can't get it straightened out, then he's going to give you bad. That's the opposite of faith. That's what the knowledge of good and evil is supposed to do with condemnation. It's supposed to turn it upside down. He's not telling you that you're not going to make it and that he's going to be mean to you. What he's telling you is, I love you enough to guide you. I'm going to love you unconditionally, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn the heat up on the condemnation until you can't sleep. And he does. And you don't. And then you get out of bed and you tell him, I'm sorry. Or if you're little, you go tell your mom, crying, Mom, I did something. I'm really sorry. Because you can't leave it lay. And then you know what you find? You find there's this peace. And you think, why didn't I do this 12 years ago? And that's what God wants you and me to understand. It's like, the sooner you do it. And so you guys, look, when we've done something to somebody and we need to go tell them sorry. What happens to us is we have a tendency with our pride to protect ourselves, and so we put off the sorries, repentance to other people. And you guys, the thing about repentance to other people is that it sets you free. It sets you free. Because you've let them free. Because something they've done, and that's why Jesus said, hey, look, if somebody hits you on the face, pray fire from heaven on them to consume them. Or turn the other cheek. But here's the thing. Releasing people from their indebtedness releases you. Because you know what you feel? You feel condemnation when you hold what you hold. So you're thinking, on one hand, I said and did those things. Yeah, and I'm right. But I feel awful. So, doing that made me feel awful, so they made me feel awful. Or, no, what I did made me feel awful. So how to fix what I did? Then we try to figure out all kinds of ways around the stuff, and the truth is, just go to them. Say, hey, look, I am sorry. I'm sorry for what I did, I'm sorry for what I've said. You guys, if you say something to someone else and God convicts you, I'm sorry. Starting with the I'm sorry's. So the thing that God does, you guys, is brings us into a place where we begin to recognize, here's what His promise is. The law was given to make you feel condemnation. It condemned you. So, but what it should do is immediately, it should be like a buzz to you, like electricity. So you guys, that's the thing about condemnation, it's that buzz. When you get that buzz, it's meant to turn you around. And the faster you stop what you're doing, the better it works in your life. So what God's teaching us is, you know what? I gave you condemnation in your spirit just to be that sense of condemning what you were doing. And when you back away from it, there is no condemnation. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You're born again, yes? Who walk not after the flesh. You don't walk after the... You don't know, what walking after the flesh is sort of like following your girlfriend off the bus. It's not that. Walking in obedience to the flesh is what he's saying. They that are in the flesh... So he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who do not obey the flesh. Who do not obey the flesh. But they obey the Spirit. Now, you can say, okay, so how do I know what's flesh? Actually, isn't it amazing that most of us in this place know about 90% of what would be flesh? So then enters that other voice that helps negate the condemnation. Because the flesh has an excuse. It's learned that if you give the right information to the condemnation is even the soul will ponder your new information. It's like, well, this is what I'm doing. So what God says is, okay, so let's use just the word of God for our guide. And that's why Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. Approved unto God. You want God happy with how you're walking. You want God to approve of what you're thinking and doing. So that's what the Word of God does. So you guys, we have everything we need to walk in a righteous walk. So he says this in 6, or at the end of 5. For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. I'm in verse 19 of 5. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Does that really work? That Jesus could live righteous and then his righteousness would fall on all of us just like disobedience or the condemnation did? Because condemnation came on all men. By one man's disobedience, condemnation came on them. So by one man's obedience, right actions came on all of us. It just came on us. So does it mean we're obedient to it yet? No. But you guys, there's a preponderance now through the Spirit of life. There's a life in me now that is a law of life. There's a law that if something has come alive in me from God, it will walk me a different road. If something from God has come alive in me, it'll take me out of this place that just the flesh left me. So what God said is, what I'm going to do is put a law of life in you. Not the law of death. There was a law to death. Wages of sin is death. That's the law. But now there's a law of life. And what was that law of life? It is that I am putting inside of you a living thing. A new man. A spirit man. And because it's alive inside of you, it is going to change everything. Because you're not going to work just from a conscience, because a conscience can be messed with. Now I've got a brain to the operation. But this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So now I have this additional thought process that comes out of the written Word of God. But I've let the Spirit come in me, and now the Spirit on board is growing up inside of me, and it is alive. And there's a law in it. There's a law that it will overcome the darkness. That the Spirit will lead me out of darkness. And what God did was He put a new man inside of me that gave me the completion of righteousness. The genetic makeup of a tree is in the nut. The height of it, the breadth of it, the strength of it, and the kind of it is in the nut. It's in the seed. So when God put Christ's seed in us, He had a preponderance to victory because Christ was victorious. And so what He gave us was this law, a law, that now life would come out of what He did. Not what we did. The law of life comes out of what He did, and you and I then get this life in us. And so it changes what men do with salvation altogether. Because what we're dealing with is this law of life. So, He said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who Do not obey the flesh, but obey the Spirit. Easy. So let's read a little bit more here at the end of 5. So, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Not all. Because you have to accept this. You actually have to invite this. Because you have to believe in it. And you have to surrender to His way to do it. Not religion's way. Now listen. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. God gave the law so that the offense would abound. So what was happening? Condemnation was growing. That's because the law told you all kinds of things you shouldn't do. So when you did something that there was a law that you shouldn't do it, you felt that buzz. You felt like, man, don't do that. And you guys, it's amazing how we still have that buzz in us. A Christian knows stuff the world does not know. Daniel was in the court of the beast. He was in Nebuchadnezzar's court. And they used Daniel's wisdom to protect the king. It's like, is something wrong in what I'm doing? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gave him wisdom. He didn't have that kind of wisdom. His trinketers were not giving him the kind of wisdom those guys did because they went straight to God. And it's like thunder came out of heaven. And Nebuchadnezzar would go, that's my answer. Elevate those guys to something else. Where are they now? They're at the top. Okay. Well, leave them there then. Leave them at the top. Right? Their wisdom raised them to the top of what the world would accept as the wisdom. I'm just telling you, that's what God did with the beast. Of course, there was some problems in the kingdom because the people who wanted to tear him down decided that they knew how to do it. And that was just simply get the king in his arrogance and pride to lift himself up higher. Make an image that everybody had to bow to because they knew these men. They're not bowing. Wisest men in the kingdom, they're wise enough not to bow to you. So, that's what God does. And that's what He's telling me and you. So, what I want to appear in this last day is in that place that God's wisdom, God's Spirit, and God's Word bring me through in that righteousness according to the life, the law of life inside of me that says, I will guide you through everything coming. I will carry you through everything coming. I will bring you victorious through everything coming. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will pick you up. I will change what's going on in your mind. I'll change you from the mind out. You guys, that's the law that God gave us. So He says this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Yes, yes, more buzz. Stay away from this, stay away from that, stay away from this, stay away from that. It isn't what God wanted. It is not what God wanted. What He wanted to do was find this beautiful girl in the apple orchard. Courting age. He wanted to just meander in there with His presence and His love. Look her deep in the eyes, and as soon as she saw His eyes, she was lost. Am I right? And He said things like, wow, I could hang 1,000 shields on your neck. And she didn't understand it, but it's like, yes. Yes. He tells me the sweetest things. That's what He wanted to do, yeah? And He wanted to have her never need any information but His. He wasn't going to send her a whole bunch of laws. He was just going to take her to the apple orchards and pick an apple for her and tell her, hey, do you like this? And clean it off. Give it to her polished. Her eyes are just mist over while she's looking at him. And then that fluttering would happen in her heart. Because you know what? That fluttering in your heart is way stronger than the need to obey. See, the fluttering in the heart is something that's way more powerful than the need to obey. And so what he did was, he just threw the law book out. He did throw the law book out. He took all the ordinances that were written against us. But you get what's going on, you guys. What's the difference in this? Why would you? What condemnation would you need if he just led you out of all the stuff? And what time do you have to get into mischief when you're so in love with him? You know, that's the crazy thing about courtship relationships, is that when you get in a courtship relationship, you don't have time to sleep. You don't even have time to eat. How many people lose weight when they're in a courtship relationship? Everybody. Because for one thing, you're spending so much time with this other person, you don't want them to know that you get lettuce between your teeth. And the way you keep them from ever knowing that is you don't eat in front of them. How many know that's right? What God does, you guys, is brings us into that place that is where that constant companionship takes you deeper than you could ever want to go. And from that, you guys, is what God wanted from the beginning. He wanted Adam to love him so much that when he came down and Eve had been tested, Adam standing there crying, and God said, "What's the matter, Adam?" Not hidden. Crying. Because every dad would stop immediately at the tears of his son. And it's like, Eve died today. How did Eve die today? Adam, how did Eve die today? Was she not dead yet? You said the day that she ate of that tree, she would die. And God, I love her so much. I'm begging you, don't let her die. See, that was the day. That was God's plan for the day, yes? But I loved you. But Adam, I know you loved her. God, I love her. I love her so much that my first thought, and I'm just telling you, Father, my first thought was to go with her. I couldn't live without her. It's just like, well, you'd rather eat the fruit and die. Because what did he know what death was? What is death? What is death? That was God's word. Well, what does that mean? They eat that tree, sure that nobody died. There was no such thing as death. It's like, well, what would death be? What is death? It's like, I don't know. But he told us don't eat of the tree, we'd die. And maybe explained it. You shut your eyes and your flesh will get buried in the dirt and you'll go back to dirt, maybe. I don't know. Maybe explained it to him. So God's talking to us about this thing because the whole idea is love me more than you love you. He gave us a picture of the strongest man in the world. Strongest man in the world. Pick up the gates of Gaza. But he couldn't withstand loving a woman. And he couldn't keep his secret from her. She said, if you love me, you'd give me your secret. If you love me, you'd give me your secret. If you love me, you'd give me your secret. And that's the devil's plan. And eventually he did. Then God gave the wisest man on the earth. You guys, when you read about the wisdom of Solomon, when you talk about the things that he did, the whole world knew of the renown of this man bringing his court to absolute silence. Because this man could say things through his lips that nobody could think up. And in that depth of wisdom, he could be beguiled by a woman he loved who had a God he hated. Yes. You see what happens, you guys. The Satan is crafty in his devices. And you can tell yourself 1,000 lonely stories means nothing. 1,000 lonely stories doesn't mean nothing when you're walking that narrow road with God. And that's what he's telling me and you. You walk this road. Don't sell out. I paid more for you than that. Don't sell out cheap. You stand on that line. You walk this narrow walk. You covet the best gifts of the Spirit, but you cherish your salvation. Came at a high price. Came at a price you can't even believe the price I paid for it, because unless you saw it, unless you saw the whole thing I went through, he's too removed from us, you guys, for it to impact us like it should impact us. If that was your son, and you watched him beat like Mary did, look at his body beyond recognition. Everything inside of you would flush out. Your mind would sink down into a despair because you couldn't stop what was happening to him. But you guys, we just talk about it as well. You know, he died for us. And we see a few pictures of him. They had a picture in Arkansas, the Eureka Springs, at the they've got a place there that does a reenactment of the crucifixion. The Passion of the Christ, or whatever it's called down there. Passion Vessel or something. But you guys, they had a picture there. I don't think it's there anymore. I don't know. But my friend Mike Bly, he had been down there, and he said, Brother Rice, he said, I was in Eureka, Arkansas. I was living in North Harrison. He said, and they had a picture of Jesus by a German artist. And he said, it really seemed like the biblical picture because he was beaten beyond recognition. His head was swollen. Nothing about it looked like a face. His hair was matted with blood. His body was torn and shredded. So I've never seen anything that turned me away like that picture turned me away. He said, I couldn't stand and look at it. I could not stand and look at that picture. You guys, that's what he's talking about, this sin and condemnation. It's like, here's what it is. I'm going to bring a difference to you. I'm going to bring a life to you. But I want you to understand that condemnation will still pop up in you because it'll tell you no. It'll tell you don't. It's a safeguard that still comes on you. The thing is, it now has the mind of the Spirit for an explanation that is definitive. It defines what it is that you should do. Gives you the voice. Gives you that understanding. So he said this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, law entered that the offense might abound, that it might grow, that there would be more. So that everything you did that was wrong, he would be there to tell you right away. Now listen to what he says. But, and that's a conjunction because he's joining these two points together, am I right? But, where sin abounded in your life or mine, grace did much more abound. Grace did much more abound. Now listen. That as sin hath reigned unto death. Sin reigned unto death. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. So you guys, listen. This is what God expects from us. Living righteous. He doesn't expect us to live because grace keeps fixing our stuff. His glory is that we don't sin anymore. That's His glory. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. God is bringing us up to a glory that doesn't do that stuff. Doesn't do that stuff. Doesn't accept it as the premise. Well, I'm flesh. That is not what He said. You're spirit. And there's therefore no more condemnation to them who are in the flesh, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from that law of sin and death. Death no longer has power over me. Why? Because sin no longer has power over me. Wow, you guys. And it means that there's power in you to obey the truth. There's power in you to walk in righteousness. There's a law of it. Because you have the Spirit of life inside of you. That life chooses the right thing. Because if it chooses the wrong thing, it walks away from the stuff of God. So he says this in 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is this what we're doing? Is it because we have grace, do we continue in sin that grace may get abound? Or sin did abound, grace did much more abound. That's what he just told us, yes? Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So Paul said, so because we see that this works, should we keep doing the sin so that the grace will abound? No, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? See, that's what happened in this new life. Because Jesus paid the price and took us all to death. He took us all to death and took us through it at the cross. Yes, you died at Calvary with Him. So He paid your death by taking your flesh to the cross. Do you understand that? He took your flesh to the cross and it died with Him. So what God did that day was settle the debt of sin. That song, Three Crosses Stood. On Calvary's Holy Hill, it was crucifixion day. The time had come to pay sin's debt. And death was the only way. You guys, the truth still remains. The truth still remains. So there's a way that you and I can walk in this righteous walk above sin. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Wow, what a glorious thing. Your flesh has been dealt with at Calvary. You're dead to sin. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Yes? So that's what baptism was. You were baptized into His death. You accept that. That's the reason that you're baptized in water. You're baptized in water because the whole point is you were laid under the water. God used that symbolically of actually being put in the ground so that you would understand the reality of that's how real it is. So that's the idea. It's like, you mean I really am dead? That's not how we baptize. We use it as a formula thing. It's like, well, we're told to baptize. No. This whole thing is I am telling you that I'm going to give you something so physical you'll understand. Now, He could tell us that I'm going to put you in a tomb and roll the stone against and seal it. But He figures that would be a little much for you. Or put you in a coffin and shut the lid and put you in the ground and throw some dirt on top of you until you hear the dirt falling on top of the coffin. That would give you the same explanation that being buried in the water was. Isn't that great that you just buried in water and you can still see out? You can still grab the preacher and pull yourself up his arm? Sure, he's going to get wet. But you ain't drowned him. It's like, thank you, Jesus. But is that not the truth? Because you guys, that's the point He's making is look, I want you to take this as a fact. This is how real the fact is. I'm going to put you underwater as a proof to you I did that at Calvary. Because he wasn't dead yet when John was baptizing people, am I right? Verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. So see where the glory of the Father came in? He took that flesh out of death. That's how Jesus got the glory. Am I right? Now He's a Son who has come into resurrection life. What's gone with the flesh? Everything. Because what Jesus did is took total obedience to the cross. Absolute total obedience. So where Adam failed, Jesus succeeded. So He comes off the cross dead. That flesh is absolutely dead. That's exactly what had to happen to it. In total surrender to God, because He said, it's written on me to do this. I have to do it in obedience to God. He chose to walk that obedient. And when He's in the garden, He's praying, you could take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. And that's what you and I do it. You're going to come to places that you're going to have, you're going to be able to tell God, look, You're not going to make me do this. I know that. You're not going to make me do this. And if I don't surrender my will to You, You'll stop right here. And God will stop because He's not going to take you past something you don't want to do. That's how come those people, that guy being roasted could have recanted. All he'd have to do is say, okay, I'm not going to serve God. He's not real. There's nothing to Him. There's nothing to God. He could. But He chose not to. How would you choose not to? How would you choose not to? So that's the thing God's talking about this. I'm talking the way He talks right here. I'm telling you that He's bringing us to the power to live past that because the new man isn't affected the same way by the flesh and its power. But what He's teaching us is to deny the flesh. Deny it. Take up your cross, He said. Pretty clever picture there. And follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. I'm not going to tell you to go where I'm not going. I'm not going to ask you to do what I would not do. And because I've done it, I will carry you through it. Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. We shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. So you guys, what was His resurrection? Perfect flesh. Flesh that had been sacrificed. Flesh that had been laid as a sacrifice before God totally. You walk like that? Because He did it? Wow, is that not good news? You could walk like that because He did that? Yes. You guys, the church doesn't read this and pay attention to it because it seems impossible to live like that. But if I draw near to Him and I know that that Spirit inside of me is alive and there's a live Spirit inside of me that will grow up to do it, then I'm not asking my flesh to do it. I'm asking the Spirit to rise up inside of me and to take me where I wouldn't go. That's what Jesus told Peter. He said, Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself. That means you told your flesh what it was going to do. And he said, you told me you were not going to deny me. I told you you would. You told me you wouldn't. I told you you would. You told me you wouldn't. I told you you would. Everybody's going, okay, okay, okay. You do good arguing. You did. Now, what I'm showing you is that there's this power inside of me coming inside of you. And when this power comes inside of me, inside of you, you will not come to that place that you will deny me. I will change you in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I'm going to baptize you with fire, and you're going to come out of that place, and I will have changed you because a spirit of my presence will come inside of you with such power that instantly you'll be different. That's how the church was birthed. So, guys, we're not living in the same place of acceptance of the power because we're not accepting it by His words. Rendition. We're doing it by our own works still. We're still trying to do it by the law. So that's what He's telling me and you is going to bring us the power. Listen to what He said, and we're soon done. Knowing this, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, and that ends with a colon, right? Verse 5 ends with a colon. So it means that He's explaining what He said. Is that right? Is that what a colon is? Okay. Knowing this, this is what we know from Him, us being enlightened to His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. My flesh man is crucified with Him. That the body of sin might be destroyed. Was it? Past tense. That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So God said, you're dead. But we say, I don't see that. He said, that's faith. I'm telling you, you're dead. So you're not going to see it. You're going to read it and believe it. You're going to read it and believe it. Because God said it. Listen. Now, if we be dead with Christ, so now he goes on, and he's going to keep working this point until it's clear to us. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. Reckon it. What does reckon mean? Yeah, consider it. Yeah, come to the total of it. If you reconcile a checkbook, what does that mean? Yeah, you make sure all the numbers work out right. So, take this thing and make it where you understand what you came to the conclusion of. What is this? Likewise, reckon or believe it. Receive it. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckon it. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. You don't let it reign there. Reign means that it has sway with you. You yield to it. You give yourself to it. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. That you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Don't yield your members, your body to unrighteousness. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Alive from the dead. You've already been dead, yes? So now you're in resurrection life. How would you live if you were living in resurrection life? You guys, what Paul said, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. So we think that this just happens to us. And the truth is, we have to come into this place that God brings a revelation of it. Paul said, I am praying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in Him. Knowledge and revelation in Him. So you guys, this has to become a revelation to you. It has to be revealed to you by God. This is that revelation of Christ. So that when we see Him, you'll see this. When you see this, you'll be like Him. Why? You'll already be like Him. Because you're already resurrected. The battle's already fought. It's already won. So then give you power. That's exactly right. Yeah, so, no. Yeah, no. The power, sure. And what was the power for? to as many as received him, to them gave he power, because that's what resurrection life is. This is the spirit, the law of the spirit of life is the power to become the Son of God. So, to as many as received him, that's letting that spirit inside them, that spirit of life, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So a son of God isn't just born again, and it isn't just someone who walks above sin. It's someone who knows what God would have them do. Because I can walk above sin, but not know what he'd have me to do. So he tells me, I want you to go 23 miles out of your way this way. Doesn't tell me why. I go 23 miles out of my way. I'm standing at a well. Here's a woman from Samaria. And I ask her, hey, would you get me a drink? And she goes, would I? And I realize, wow, I'm feeling this sudden impression that she's tempted by my presence just being here. So he tells her, well, if you would ask me, I'd give you a drink. She said, how come you being a Jew asks me, a woman of Samaria, to get you water? Because they didn't do that. But she was saying, so what's going on between us? And he said, well, actually, if you asked me for a drink, you want to know what the deal is? I'd give you a drink and you would never thirst again. She said, all right, so give me this water. Because see, that's like plumbing. So she's telling him, hey, so do it. I'm loving this thing. And he brought on her what? He brought on her condemnation. Yeah? Because what he said was, okay, go call your husband. She goes, I don't have one. He's going to move out this afternoon. Am I right? So he said, you know what? That's true. See what he did with the condemnation? He took it to a truth. He said, what you've said is true. You have no husband. You've had five husbands. And the man you're now living with is not your husband. In that, you said the truth to me. You told me the truth. But she wasn't telling the truth because she was saying, I don't have a husband. I don't have nobody. And he took it. And instead of leaving it in condemnation, he didn't say, so you have no husband, huh? Because the flesh likes to dig until somebody is caught in a trap so deep that they have to confess that there's a wickedness about them. And we just worm them around until eventually they're caught, and then they have to admit, it's like, so you have no husband? No, I have no husband. Nobody you're living with. Because now she's committed herself to none. It's like, no, nobody. And that's because everybody understood you didn't just live with somebody, even in Israel. Yes, she's a Samaritan, but they had the law of God. So he didn't dig her down until she felt so wicked that she would feel despair at telling him anymore, because she would have left before the conversation would have turned right. You get that? She wouldn't have stayed to have this blistering truth about her life be brought out. So he condemned her enough to give her the buzz. It's like, so go get your husband. I don't have a husband. Because you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to tell her how much he knew her. He said, I know everything about you. Okay. You know me. And you would give me a drink that I would never thirst again. You know my life has been a shambles. You know I've had five husbands. I made the worst choices I could have ever made on earth. My life is a shambles. And the man I'm living with now, I'm not even married to. And as soon as you flattered me with your presence because you're a Jew and you talk to me and I'm a woman of Samaritan, made me feel like I was somebody. You made me feel better than I've ever felt in my life. You made me feel that way. And now you're asking me a question that has put me on a real spot. And he never left her there. He didn't leave her on the spot. He took her past the spot. And he said, in that thou sayest, it's true, you've had five husbands, and the man you're married to is not your husband. She said, so where should I worship? I want a closer walk with God. Man, this buzz I felt, I just felt the buzz. And you know what I felt? Is I felt I'm not worshiping God right. Because the way you uncovered my life, it's like, wow, I looked at that and I thought, man, that is my life. I need a place to worship. And you're a Jew, and you say that we ought to worship, that men ought to worship in Jerusalem. And I'm from Samaria, and I've been worshiping here, and I got a shamble for a relationship. I got five ex-husbands and a man I'm living with is not my husband. So where should I worship God? What would get me out of this? What could get me out of this? Because I know surely God could get me out of this. I'm in a mess. So should I worship in Jerusalem? He said, no. Neither in Samaria. It's like, okay, now that leaves me where I'm at. Because, you know, actually, I haven't been going to the temple. I haven't been going to the synagogue. I've been kind of dropping through the condemnation and ignoring it and searing my conscience. I've been shutting out that voice. I got to shut up. Now you're reawakening it in me. And now I want to go to church. So you tell me where I should go to church. And Jesus said, well, here's the thing. God's been with you all along. God's a spirit. And what you felt when things were going on in your first relationship and you were moving out of it, that buzz you felt was God telling you don't. And you're from Samaria. And you weren't even going to the synagogue. You weren't even going to the temple. You weren't even obeying the law. You knew the law, but you weren't obeying it. But I was buzzing you. I buzzed you then. And I buzzed you again. I buzzed you again. And you ignored the buzzing. So let's talk about this thing. God's been with you all along. God's a spirit. And they that worship Him. Because in order to get out of where you're at, you're going to have to worship Him. That means you're going to have to give yourself to Him. Worship is how you surrender to God. Not what you do with your lips. It's how you surrender with your life. You want to worship Him? You really want to make yourself a living sacrifice? Okay, this is how you do it. Worship Him in spirit. So that means at your house. And He tells you, stop right where you're at. Then you're worshiping Him in spirit. In truth. Because He will tell you what not to do and what to do. You blow past the little voice. You blow past the tingle of condemnation. And you avoid the information. Because eventually you'll shut it off to where you don't feel it. When you play guitar, you get calluses on your fingers. And you don't feel the strings anymore. And you get little lines in them. See those little lines in there? They just stay in there. So that when you touch those little tiny strings that are stretched tight on that neck, you can push them down and your fingers don't feel it anymore. And that's what you can do with condemnation. It would touch you. It would push back. But you push it enough and you'll callous over it. Then you don't hear it no more. You'll think, I'm feeling better already. God said, you're not feeling better already. You're feeling emptier already. Don't shut me off. Don't shut me off. And I'll get you to the place that you will have true fellowship with God. You will worship God in the Spirit. She said, okay. We know that when the Messiah comes, He will tell us all things. Because her mind is reeling with the fact He knew everything about her life. Because He didn't just tell her about the five husbands. He told her all kinds of stuff. Because she said, He told me everything. Nobody would want a stranger to tell you everything about your life, I don't think. He told me everything. And He said, well, so here's the deal. Honey, I am the Messiah. And she knew that He was. Because she could feel this presence of God. And He took her from this place where having had all this ruin in her life could be fixed. By worship. By worshiping God. And there was a way to come into no condemnation by a living way. A spirit inside of her was going to tell her, don't do that no more. And she was not going to do it anymore. And you guys, that lady went running. I mean, she didn't take her water pitcher with her. That woman just grabbed her skirt, pulled it up above her knees, because you know a woman in a long dress has to lift her skirt to run. And down that road she ran. I'm telling you, she just outrun everybody. And when she got into that town, she started telling everybody, you guys, listen, listen. She was screaming at the top of her voice. I found the Messiah, and He told me everything I ever done. It's like, me. And you know what He told me? He told me that God would let me come into the holiest of holies. Me. I could come into the holiest of holies. And I could meet with God at the mercy seat myself. And I could bring my own sins, not just once a year, but I could do it every day. I didn't have to carry this stuff. I didn't have to carry it no more. I could go there. I could walk into that place. Do you get what I'm saying? And man, those people. I've never heard news like that. Like He would know my life, and He would bring me into the holiest of holies so I could confess my... In fact, He would confess for me. That's what a mediator is. He ever liveth to make intercession for you? You mean He would tell me, I got it covered, I got this stuff, I know what your life was like. And then He would tell me, worship God in the Spirit. Worship Him. How in the world could I worship Him with all that sin on me? It's like, well, you know, that's gone, isn't it? It's gone, isn't it? Everything you've ever done wrong, it's all gone, isn't it? That's why she ran. And you guys, we're not living like that. We're not living like that. You can worship God in the Spirit. How old? I don't care. I started at 12 years old. Actually, I started before that. But I can tell you, He walked into my life, and I knew I'd met the Messiah. It wasn't because a man was standing in front of me, but the presence of God was there. And I began to worship God in the Spirit. I began to worship God in the Spirit and in truth. You know why? Because He was clarifying those things in my mind. And when I opened the Bible, He could open the Bible for me, and He'll do the same thing for you. If you're living less than this, where you know that door open to the Holy Spirit, if you're not living in that place where you know that you have access to that place in God, you're living substandard. If you believe your sin would keep you out of there, you're not confessing. You're just not believing. Nothing will keep you out of that place. Nothing can keep you out of that. And once you get in there where the joy of God is in your life, there's no going back from that. And that's what God's talking to me and you and the whole world about. And you guys, Christianity's lost its salvation because it lost the message. And we settled for the same things that Jews did. Let's keep the do's and don'ts until we get this stuff right. And then God will bless us. No, no. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? It means come into His presence. To worship Him, you have to come into His presence. And let me tell you something. Sin won't go there. Your sin will never go there. Because it will buzz you. It will condemn you. And you'll realize, wow, I need that thing resolved. And I'm not coming back tomorrow with the same thing on me. I am not coming back tomorrow with the same thing on me. I'm not showing up every day. That's what Job said. So to as many as received Him, to them gave He power. Power. To become the sons of God. You have the power in you of Him. Because He is the Son of God. Now, so if you're genetically born of His Spirit, yes? The seed of Christ dwells in you. Do you have the power to become what He was? Sure. You have the power to become what He was, what He is. You do. So you just have to put that in your mind. It's like, you know what, God? Your word says that to as many as received You, You gave power to become the sons of God. Read that with me. John chapter 1. Somebody read that to me, Sarah. To as many as received him. John chapter 1. He came to his own. You mean he could come to his own people and they wouldn't receive him? It's in the receiving, isn't it? It means I welcome him. I receive him. Okay? I welcome you. I welcome your words. That woman welcomed the words of Jesus. She welcomed them. You've had five husbands. The man you're married to or living with now is not your husband. She welcomed those words. Why? Because it was an end to condemnation. He was setting her free. He said, look, let's just look. Let me and you look together at your life the way it was. Because you don't have to hide anything from me. You guys, religion makes you want to hide it like you don't know it. Religion makes you want to hide the truth so you won't admit it. Because you don't want anybody around you to believe you are capable of doing that stuff. So you pretend you don't do it. That's what the flesh would rather do. The flesh would rather pretend it's doing it right than get it right. As long as people in church think you're doing it right, it's like, yeah, hey, do you know what I'm doing? I've called people. I've actually called people on the phone and they've said, so what's the Lord showed you about me? And I knew what they were saying is, has he told you anything about what I've been doing? And you know what? When people are wanting to hide it, God didn't show me nothing about it. I just knew they were hiding something. And if they intended to conceal it, conceal it. You get honest with God, God will take it out. If you're wrestling with something, you're fighting with something, God will tell me what's going on. But if you want to hide it, God drops the subject. To as many as received him, gave he power. He came to his own received him. I'm in chapter 1. I told you to read it, sorry. I'm just doing it. You're just throwing your voice at me and it sounds like mine. Came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, if you receive him, I want you. You want him. And you want his words to judge you. You want his words to condemn the things in you. You want him to straighten your life out. And when he starts it, it's a precious thing. But it'll always feel like an intrusion at first. But I can guarantee you what a difference it makes. So he says this. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, you weren't born of the blood. Your mom, your birth came out of blood. Am I right? Nor the will of the flesh. It wasn't because your mom and dad loved each other. That wasn't the will. He's not talking about you being born that way. Nor the will of man. It wasn't because your mom and dad wanted a child or didn't want a child or they had no idea how great you were going to turn out. Listen. But of God, the will of God. If you're born of the will of God, that's a different thing. Born of the will of God. That's why I can read over here in 1 John and tell you that he that's born of God does not commit sin. Your flesh man was born by the will of man, right? Sure, it was born of blood. It was born in an earthly conception. But your new man inside is not born that way. It was born by the Spirit of God. And so because of that, God planted a seed in you that is a spirit of life. That life that came inside you is a power. And it will bring you everything that the original seed brought forth. Jesus was that seed. And God harvested that seed from him. And so his victory becomes your victory. His death becomes your death. His resurrection becomes your resurrection. Past tense. Now that, you guys, religion can't touch. And Christianity isn't touching it. Listen, go back to verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Blah, 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 blah. Look back to 6. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Now, why would you have to bear witness of the light? Like, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to turn the light on. And here's the light. It's a little bit of a waste of time, isn't it? Because when you turn the lights on, nobody has to bear witness of the light. Except this is spirit light. This is Shekinah glory. This is a light that doesn't have a source. It comes straight out of God. It's a spirit thing. So what happens is you come into the presence of this light and you're bewildered because the things that you see aren't things that appear. Yes. So look. The same came for witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. If you could see him, you'd believe. If you could see him, you would believe. I'm just telling you. If you could see him, you would believe. He was not that light. John was not that light. But was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So that light is the Spirit, yes? Because every man is born with the Spirit. Now what you do, because the Spirit is that part of your soul that receives that message from God. So it's that receiver. It's like having a radio receiver in your head. Okay. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So you get it. You get that Spirit. And it will lighten you. You guys, that's the reason men have such a hatred against God, because from the time they were little, that voice kept talking to them and it gave them illumination. It opened their eyes to the things in their life that needed change. And you guys, if you're left with condemnation, because the church was meant to bring you absolution, yes? It's supposed to bring you peace. And the church hasn't brought peace. So what the church was supposed to do is catch on that you are going to start feeling condemnation by the time you're 12 years old. And you're going to have to start doing something with what you feel. From the time you're 8 or 10 years old, you take a sensitive kid at 5 and 6, they begin to feel condemnation for the same things they do. You hurt somebody's feelings when you're little, you feel bad about it. You tell a lie when you're little, you feel bad about it. That's that condemnation. But you guys, what the church was meant to do is give you a way out of the condemnation. And we leave kids in it because the enemy wants to beat up on people. And you guys, if somebody don't tell them that the freedom from their condemnation comes out of the cross, the very God they're afraid of is the God that would free them from. And you guys, he has to free us from those things. But the point is, they also have to know that the condemnation is to keep them from destruction. Because the wages of sin is still death. The wages of sin is still death. And we did come short of the glory of God. But we don't want to come short of the glory of God. Because God's glory is going to be on this earth. I'm telling you that God said in 1 Corinthians 15 that he's going to change us in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we're not all going to die. But we are all going to be changed into his image. So you guys, that's what God's going to do. And he said it's going to be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now you couldn't do that to yourself. You're not going to fix yourself in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But his power will when you see him and believe. When you receive what he has to say to you, you start receiving it today. You make up your mind, I am receiving everything he tells me. I make no excuses for behavior that would be against the will of God. I make no excuses for my behavior that would have an expectation contrary to the word of God. I am not going to step into a place where my flesh brings me to something that complains against the voice of God. It's just, it's right, it's pure. I receive him. I'm telling you, I'm throwing the door open. Because the Bible said that he came to his own and his own received him not. He came to his own and his own received him not. And the light shined in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. How could darkness make you not comprehend light? Because righteousness is light. Right way is light. Because what light does, you guys, it can show you where you don't fall in the ditch. Light shows you the things that are right and the things that are wrong. Because the Bible said men love darkness. The reason they love darkness is their deeds are evil. And that's funny. You want to cover what you're doing that's evil. You want to cover what you're doing is evil. So everything you think is okay to do, bring it to the church and do it in front of us. Everything you think is good, just bring it here to the church and do it in front of us. And if it stands the test, and everybody doesn't go, huh? That'll be your first clue. Something goes wrong. It's like, what? Like, okay, shut the lights off. I got to get out of here. Ding. Okay, done. Well, so, were there any questions? You asked a question. That was one question. Okay, you're ready to go. Jesus, we thank you for your word. God, we talk about this every time we get together, it seems like. But God, you're talking to us something precious about the morality of heaven, the spirit of life, bringing us and our thinking to the place that we recognize those thoughts that are not of life. God, there are thoughts to death. There's thoughts to life. I choose the life, and I want everyone in this place, God, to choose that which is life. God, what we want to walk is that road so narrow, God, that it would make the world despise us. You started your Sermon on the Mount by giving an amnesty and a freedom to all men. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. But you didn't leave us there because you said, blessed is he that is persecuted for righteousness' sake. Well, God, I don't want to stay there, for I'm always in poverty before you. God, I want to get to that place that I am persecuted. I am persecuted for righteousness' sake. God, that woman that will not give a marriage license to people of the same sex, who is taking the heat for every Christian that ought to stand up, every preacher. God, 10,000 times 10,000 should show up in Kentucky. God, we should have a million-man march to show that that woman is not standing alone. God, we need to get to the place that we recognize that evil calls out its troops and people show up in their numbers. God, righteousness needs to show up in its numbers. God, protect that woman, strengthen that woman, and God, help us to see what to do, to join with that woman. God, she's not alone in this battle. And every preacher in this country ought to show up where she's at. God, I'm asking you to give us wisdom. Lord, that our righteousness would cause us to be persecuted. God, it's time for the church to come back to the place that said right is by God's standard and we do not care what men say. And it doesn't matter that they get ugly and shout. It doesn't matter that they give death threats. God, it's time for the church to stand for that which is yours. And God, you made us a people, Lord, who are capable of glorifying you. I want your glory to come to pass in our lives. This cheap living that panders to the flesh is not from you. God, this substandard living that lets every voice tell us, God, is not you. God, I want your voice. I want your word. I want to receive what your word says to me. I want your spirit. I want that seed of life in me. I want the spirit of life in me and in everybody in this place. God, you clean this temple. God, you clean the house. God, I'm asking you. Lord, several times in your word, Hezekiah cleaned it. Josiah cleaned it. Ezra and Nehemiah brought cleansing to the temple. God, it's time that the temple got cleansed. God, it's time for your temple to get cleaned up. Jesus, your people keep dirtying up the temple. God, we are that temple. We are the temple. God, it's time we started living righteousness. God, this slovenly living where the flesh gets its way, God, panders to death. And I'm asking you, God, it's death to relationships. It actually destroys relationships. God, where if we want a relationship, we want to salvage a relationship. We want to keep a relationship. God, if we sin in it, we open the door to the devil. God, what you're telling us is, don't open the door to the devil. God, I'm praying for every person in this place. God, that we'd make up our mind that from this day for September has come upon us. God, what we are asking you is to set us on fire with the Holy Ghost. God, bring us to this place that we demand of ourselves the holiness of the temple that you are. Because the devil said, his boast is that he's going to enter the temple as though he were God. He's going to take your word, twist it around so that it would make the flesh believe it could do what it's doing. Contrary to your word, I want your word in us, your word by your standard, by your teaching, by your spirit, not the flesh rendition, not the devil's rendition. God, I'm asking it in your righteous name. We are the temple of God. God, keep us from that coming to pass in us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, the Catholic Church is backing away from the places that cause trouble. It has found out what's going to cause trouble. And God, it is backing away to leave true Christians to be persecuted by everybody. Because if that entity, if that great church that calls itself Christian backs away from those things about homosexuality, God, about abortions, every issue that's righteous, it's gone under. And God, your word didn't go under. God, abortion is still murder, and blood still drips from the hands of those who do the abortions and condone it. God, you're that God. And we don't want that on our hands. God, we don't want to enter into eternity with blood dripping from our hands because we don't stop it and say things about it and stand against it. God's silence from the church has allowed death upon millions of babies in this land. God, I'm asking you, stir our hearts. Bring us to the place, God, that we would stand steadfast against these terrible vices that have come upon humanity. God, we have chosen for you to clean the temple. God, you clean us. God, you get the house clean. You get the minds clean. God, you get the spirits clean. And God, you know what we do in the dark. Turn on the lights. God, every single person that has an issue that they want to have an understanding on, bring it to the church and do it. Do it right here in the church. Do it right in the sanctuary in front of everybody. If you're doing it when everybody leaves, you are not bringing it to the light. You're leaving it in darkness. You're covering it because you know it's sin. God, I'm asking you, judge it. You bring judgment on these things until every single person realizes that the way out of condemnation is to obey and to surrender. God, in your name I'm asking. God, in your name I'm asking these things. God, we ask it in your name. God, we're asking for forgiveness. I'm praying that everybody in this place be covered with forgiveness. God, we're going to start this day out right. God, on this night, we are confessing our sins to you. And we're asking you, you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, we're confessing our sins to you. God, we're bringing this stuff to you. Now, what we're asking, God, is that you give us a spirit of zero tolerance for the flesh to do its stuff. Give us this victory over every silly thing that so easily besets us. And get this house clean. God, get it clean. In your name I'm asking. God, in your name I'm asking. God, there are some little things that people are letting in. God, that's bringing the enemy with it. And God, I'm asking you that the door gets shut. God, anger sometimes. Sometimes frustration. God, false judgment. God, these things are an abomination to you. God, talking against people. Bringing condemnation against people. God, I want this cleaned up in me. I want it cleaned up in these people. God, I want nothing in me of the flesh, God. We're asking your spirit. You do it your way. And God, clean us up. God, I'm asking these things for your victory in us, in this place. God, you glorify your name here. We pray it. God, give us wisdom on the cameras we buy. You give us the right camera. God, I want professional grade cameras. God, that do these things right. God, I want people that can set the graphics right. God, I want this stuff to work smooth. God, if the world can do it, I want to do it better. You're that kind of God. I don't want this to appear as though that we're just stammering around in this stuff. God, I want it done your way. And I appreciate your presence. I appreciate your spirit. God, you stopped us Saturday because you want it done better than we're doing it. And God, I want it done that way too. In your name, I pray, God, you do it. And you send this out, God, all around the world. I believe, God, you're doing this for your glory. And I believe your word is coming out now because it's time for this truth to begin to rescue your people, God, that are starving for something true. And you bring every hungry Christian to this webpage. You find every heart available. You know where they're at. God, you bring it this available. If it has to be transcribed, written, and passed out in paper form, God, I'm asking you to disseminate this. God, we want it brought out by your spirit. You take my mind and bring these things that you've taught in the ages to light in this place by divine revelation. God, you bring it out. And then you glorify your name in us by us walking according to your will and word. God, we're praying it in your name. Bless these kids going to school. Prosper their journey. Give them favor with the teachers and the other children. Give them moral friends. I want them to have moral friends. God, they'll know the difference between a friend that's moral and a friend that's immoral. God, I want these kids to have moral friends. I want them to make choices. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.